We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe. But you say that we could come before you as we are. As we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word, and Shannon just always prays so beautifully, Lord, and just brings us into that place of worship and that place of just centering in on who you are, Lord. We're thankful for that, and I just thank you, Father, for this text that we have today. I pray, Lord, that you would give me your words to speak with boldness, Lord, that you would keep my mind sharp and keep me, Lord, in the center of your will as I speak. And Lord, thank you for the awareness of your Holy Spirit that is here to teach us. I pray, Father, that you would continue to lead us tonight and that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I found something in Psalm 119 that my husband said, I've never seen that before. And it was just an idea, and he said, I think that is probably what happened in this particular part. And another thing that he said about us ladies, he said, I have never seen some of the things in Psalm 119 that you ladies are bringing out in Psalm 119. So isn't that just so cool? I know he's the smartest man I know. He's the best teacher that I know. And to be able to have something that just makes me kind of like, I know something you don't know. It just is exciting. I don't know. I probably shouldn't feel that way, but God forgives me. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. This portion of our text from 81 to 96, I looked at it, and the first thing that I saw in it that my husband didn't see was that it looks like it was written at the end of this guy's life, close to the end of his life. And this is why I feel that. Did anybody else see that? It didn't hit anybody else like that? Okay, so verse 81, it says, my soul faints. He's been waiting a long time. 82, my eyes fail. It's been a long time. When are you coming through to me? In 83, like a wineskin in smoke, his body had dried up, shriveled up, unkempt by the long-continued affliction. In 84, how much longer am I going to be here? Now, Bethany's husband's grandma just turned 100, and they had a 100th party for her and everything. But the thing that she is saying is, how much longer am I going to be here? Because I'm done. There's things I can't do anymore, and I don't think that I have a lot to do. And so that's the question I see being asked here. In 87, they almost got me, which indicates that there have been some time lapse in there. They almost got me. In 88, revive me. I'm tired. Revive me. 89, your word is settled in heaven, and I see this being said by experience. By the experience of age. In 90, I've seen your faithfulness endure to all generations. I've seen it happen. In verse 91, I've watched as the world moves through your faithfulness. I've watched your faithfulness move in other people's lives. That takes time. 92, your law has been my delight. I have tried it and it is true. So that takes time for us to come to that place. And in 96, I've seen the consummation of all perfection, and you got to be around for a while to see that. So that's why I think this portion of text was written at a later age where he was, and I don't know how long David, of course, I should know how long David lived because it's in another portion of the Bible, but I can't think of it right now because that's not the part I studied. So, but whatever the lifespan was, I think that this was later on in his years. And so anyway, not a big deal, but I just think that it adds interest to me. In verses 81 to 88, it covers the uncertainty of life. The uncertainty of life. And then in verses 89 through 96, it covers the certainty of God's promises and his word. The certainty of God's promises and his word. Now, there's a contrast between these two sections. In the first section, 81 through 88, and the second section, 89 through 96. 81 through 88 is the transcendence of troubles. The transcendence of troubles versus stability of statutes. So the transience of troubles versus stability of statutes of the Lord. So starting with verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. I hope in your word. Psalm 25, 9, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In Genesis 49:18, Jacob's telling his children what is about to come on them, what the last days are going to be like. And he tells them, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. As he's speaking with his children, he's saying to the Lord, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. David's last words in 2 Samuel 23:5, he says, this is all my salvation. 2 Samuel 23:5. Simeon, when he saw the baby Jesus in the temple, he said, I can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen God's salvation. Luke 2:28 through 30. So this salvation that I have waited for, it is here in these scriptures. We see it in the Old and in the New Testament. We see this happening. And it goes on to say, not only have I hoped in your salvation, not only have I fainted as I longed for your salvation, for that time when I will see that salvation, but I hope in your word. Ladies, one of the most important things that we need in our lives is hope. We need that hope. I hope in your word. How precious and how important is this part of our armor that is hope? It is precious and is important to us that we have this piece of armor put upon us. In the darkness, when I am fainting to see, even then hope will remain. In those dark times when it doesn't look like anything is ever going to get any better, I will hope in the word of God. I will hope in the word of God and what he has said to me. When moments of peril are going on, hope holds out the anchor sure and steadfast. Hebrews 4:19. It holds that anchor sure and steadfast. And moving on to verse 82, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? And here's the word, ladies. Value the promise and trust the assurance. Value the promise and trust the assurance. Don't be discouraged by what you are seeing today. Don't be discouraged by the things of the present. Yesterday, it was raining. Hallelujah! It was raining, and it was that good kind of rain. It was that kind of rain that was just light. It wasn't like pouring down rain and just running off, but it was soaking into the ground, and it's the kind of rain that we've been praying for. And so, but the thing that happened, it was cloudy and it was rainy, but there was a point in the day where the sun came out. And then it got cloudy again, but then today the sun came out because the sun is always behind the clouds. So we need to prepare for that and realize that the sun is always behind the clouds. When Paul spoke of these kinds of things going on in his life, he said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Nothing causes me to do that. But this failing of our eyes is the impatience of the will, the impatience of our will that limits God. Psalm 78:41, we limit him to our own time. We limit him to our own means of getting things done. We try to limit God. And so we need to not do that. Waiting time is precious, precious, precious time. It doesn't feel like it at the moment, does it? When you are waiting for the salvation of the Lord, when you are waiting for something, that time is precious because not a moment of that time that you have waited will be lost. The blessing is sweeter because it's given in the Lord's time. It's given in the Lord's time. Remember that God is in control. He's the one who's in control, and we need to keep that in the forefront of our mind. But if unbelief clouds our comfort, we need to turn our eyes simply to the Word of God that tells us and testifies of Jesus. We simply need to turn our eyes, turn our heart, turn ourselves simply to the Word of God testifying of Jesus. This is our ground of comfort. And the more confidently we expect, the more patiently we will look for the coming of the Lord. He waits not because he wants to keep good things from us. He waits not because he wants to just see how long we will stand and just put up with something. He waits because it is for an appointed time. It is for an appointed time. That answer from the Lord is at an appointed time. And so verse 83, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. This is a true picture of misery, his patience, his hope, his body. It's wrinkled, it is parched, it is unsightly for waiting on the Lord, for waiting, continuing through that afflictions, Proverbs 17:22, continuing through that affliction. I'm worn out, I'm shriveled up, I have nothing left. I'm thirsty for the Word of God. But in that waiting, he says, but hope remains. But hope remains. And yet, how did this man of God behave when his soul was fainting? His hope is in the Word of God that kept him from sinking. Our hope is in the Word of God that keeps us from sinking because he did not forget the statutes of the Lord. When we don't give in the midst of our affliction, when we don't use the excuse of how hard things are to sin or to try to get out of it, when we don't do that, when we don't try to get out of it, God is glorified by that. It's proof of the reality of God's grace in our life and of his faithful love toward us. He gives that faithful love toward us by our waiting. Nothing honors God so much as that enduring, overcoming faith. Enduring, overcoming faith that we can have by being in his word. It perseveres in spite of opposition. When nothing looks like it's ever going to happen, when everything looks bad, Romans 4:18-20, he takes us through it. He carries us through it. Now, verses 84 and 85, how many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. How many are the days of your servant? When we are exposed to the lawless devices of another person who is proud, when we are under, I don't know, in this election, are we a little bit under some of the proud people? And we wonder what's going to go on next. We're not sure of it. Remember that God in Christ is your stronghold. God in Christ is your stronghold. Psalm 71:3. God in Christ is your stronghold. Instead of taking vengeance out into your own hands, commit yourself into the hands. Did anybody else ever want to just take vengeance on somebody? Never. No. Me either. Not unless I was alone or with someone. It's you want to take things into your own hands and you want to make it happen because somebody needs to pay for what they've done. And we don't trust the Lord, because in 1 Peter 2:23, we talked about it last week. In 1 Peter 2:23, give it to him that judges righteously. Give it to the one who judges righteously. My judgment is not righteous, because I have my own thoughts about what that person might have been doing. And so however things go, this ought to be fixed in our hearts, that he that sits in heaven judges righteously, and he executes his righteous judgment just at the right time. Habakkuk said, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, are you going to let these things go on? Just until now. And you remember in Habakkuk, you remember as Habakkuk said, how long, O Lord, are you going to do this? And God said, just sit back and look and pay attention and write these things down, because I'm going to work a work in your time that you wouldn't believe though it were told to you. I'm going to bring in the Chaldeans. Not good. That was not good news. I'm going to bring in the meanest, awfulest, hardest to live with, most brutal people, and we're going to be turned around by it. And so we need to remember that he who judges righteously, just at the right time, he comes in. 2 Timothy 3:12 reminds us that the world, in this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, we will have tribulation. It says in this our text here, the proud are digging their pits, but the Lord is the one who is our deliverer. All your in verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help! That's the way that I read that every time I read this portion of text. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help! Help, Lord! Help me! Because I can't get through this. There is nothing as dependable as God's word. There is nothing as dependable as God's word. He's promised to rescue his persecuted people. And so when we are attacked by people who are lying against us, we can confidently pray what is called the golden prayer. You know what the golden prayer is? Help! With arms raised, ready to receive from the Lord. That's the thing that we can say. Just help me, Lord, help me. Put on your shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16, and fight the good fight, 1 Timothy 6:12. Put on your shield of faith and fight the good fight. We are best able to resist our enemy where? On our knees. On our knees. Now, you can pray, and I know I've heard it all before. You can pray when you're walking. You can pray when you're standing. You can pray when you're doing dishes. You can pray when you're all these things. And all of those things are true. But I'm saying, there is something different when I am on my knees. And I don't know what it is, but there is maybe my attention is better because I'm uncomfortable, because it hurts to be on my knees. But there is something about being on our knees that just brings our attention to the Lord, I think. That's my opinion. So that's the way that I pray, because it works for me. So anyway, and so when we're on our knees and we're praying, that prayer, that help me, Lord, will bring down the strength of God. It'll bring down the strength of God on our lives. So verse 87, they almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. I did not forsake your precepts. Why did they not quite make an end of him on earth? Why is this still being talked about? Because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to find someone to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are wholly given to him, or whose hearts are loyal. God is going to and fro throughout the whole earth to find people, to show himself strong to people who are wholly committed to him. Do you need the strength of the Lord? Give yourself wholly to the Lord, and he will give you that strength. That's That is 2 Chronicles 16:9. Let me tell you something. Satan wants to sift us. He wants to sift us. And we all need to be aware of that. But Jesus said in Luke 22:31-32, I have prayed for you for what? That you don't have to go through tough stuff? No, I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. I've prayed for you that your faith does not fail in the midst of your trials. The author says here that he would rather forsake all that his heart held dear on this earth than forsake the precepts of God. He would rather forsake every good thing that he had on this earth rather than to forsake the precepts of God. And I wonder about me, what would I take in exchange for the precepts of God, for the favor of God? What would I exchange for that? Would I be happy to just have the praise of men and not the favor of God? Could I be content to forego my greatest comforts or to suffer the loss of all things? Would I be willing to suffer the loss of all things, Philippians 3:8? To have the precepts of God? Would I be willing to give up even my life itself, as Acts 20:24 says? I would like to believe that I would say yes to that. But I don't know, because I'm not facing it. I could say right now how hard that would be, but I don't know. I do know if God calls me to a place, he gives me all the grace I need to accomplish whatever he's called me to do. If I am in that place where my life is on the line, God will give me the grace to go through it. We need to live our lives like that, that we know that God will give us all the grace we need for whatever he's called us to do, whatever situation that we're in. So I don't want to forsake the ways of the Lord. And I don't know for sure what I would do, but this I do know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And I can even wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness that come upon me if I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If I am in strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10. Verse 88 says, revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. We need continual revival. Continual revival. The revival has got to start with me. It's got to start with each one of us individually if we are going to maintain our steadfastness in his precepts. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in our sins, has revived us together with Christ, Ephesians 2:4-5. He has revived us together with Christ. He has brought us back to life. He is our source of life. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Our life is hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. So we set our minds on things above and not on the things of the earth. If we constantly are thinking about what's going on in the world today, we will go mad. We'll go crazy. If everything that I'm almost not going to watch the news. I don't want to watch the news. Here, someone just pointed out to me something that I hadn't really thought through, but I do agree with her. How our hearts get hardened by every time we watch the news. With the horrible things that man can do to each other, with every time, the first time we're going, oh, that's awful, how could they do that? And the next time, oh, that's awful, how could they? The third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, maybe the tenth time, we're going, oh, man, did you see it? Our hearts getting hardened to that thing. It's being, our conscience is being seared by these things that we allow into our life. I'm not saying don't watch the news. I'm saying just don't get wrapped up in it. Trust the Lord. Just know that you can trust the Lord, and that's completely a different subject. So set your mind on things above. Stir up the prayer of revival, reviving influence, and we will be maybe not rich in money, but we're going to be fruitful as ever. We're going to have that fruitfulness in our lives. Don't depend on your flesh to get the job done, because self-confidence paralyzes our spiritual energy. Self-confidence paralyzes our spiritual energy. Now, we are told, have confidence in yourself. Be confident as you get up there. Be confident. You can do it. I know you can do it. And then we give badges for all of the, I love that little thing that I was watching on the millennials. And how many millennials are in here? I want to tell you guys something. I love how you're changing the world. I love how you guys are changing the world. And I don't even remember what I was going to mention about the millennials, except that I know that you guys are changing the world. I was just reading an article on you guys, and it was about how you think, and I just am excited to see how God's going to use you guys. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for being in here amongst all of us. So where was I? Self-confidence and spiritual energy, yeah. It is the spirit that revives, the flesh profits nothing. John 6:63. It is the spirit that revives, the flesh profits nothing. And then in verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I wanted to stick on this verse. As I kept reading through it, I wanted to stay right here. I wanted to linger right here. Your word is settled in heaven. God knows everything. It is already settled. And you might be unhappy with that. Because you might be saying, I don't understand how I could have to go through what I've gone through. I don't understand that. And so you're angry with God. Maybe you're angry with God because you're saying, I know that his word is settled in heaven, so he knew that this was going to happen, and yet he allowed it to happen anyway. But are we going to take only the good from the Lord and never expect any bad thing to happen to us? What kind of life is that? We pray and we ask the Lord, I want the fellowship of your suffering. And then when that fellowship of his suffering comes, then we're going like, what is this? I can't do this. Why am I going through this? God, what are you thinking? But God delivers us through it. But this whole thing about your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generation. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Everything of this earth are the servants of God. All of it. The sun comes up every day. The sun goes down every day. The moon is out there every day. All of it. The earth is spinning at the proper speed. The seasons come and go. The rain comes and the rain doesn't come. All of these things work just as they should work, except for man. Except for man. Not just your husbands, not just the guys. We have to take a little responsibility here. We're talking about mankind and the way that we live our lives. But here's some things about man. The man is the child of his maker. Deuteronomy 32:6. He is the child of his maker. Man was created in God's image. Genesis 1:27. Created in his image. And man was destined for his glory. In Isaiah 4:37. That's what man was made for, and yet he's the only one who rebels and revolts against God. I don't know. I think about animals and how do they have, you never see them shaking their paw at God. Why did you bring that to that animal? You don't see that happening, do you? Although, I don't know if any of you guys saw this thing about the dolphin. Did you see anything about this dolphin? There were a bunch of dolphins that were in a pool, and the trainer would reward them when they brought the trash. They were trained to bring all the trash that would get into their pool and bring it up to the trainer, and then the trainer would give them a reward, give them some fish. And so this one female dolphin learned on this reward system, she took a bunch of paper and put it under a rock, underwater, under a rock, so that she brought up just bits of paper and got the reward for it. And there was the one time, and then she would go back and she would get more paper and get more reward. So she had learned how to do this. And this one account that they said that she caught a bird that was in the pool, I guess that wasn't supposed to be in the pool. And so they brought it, she brought it to the trainer, and the trainer gave her 5 fish. Well, right away, she thought, okay, this is a good deal. She ate 4 fish and used the other one to lure another bird. Are you kidding me? They are so smart. Isn't that stuff that we do? Yeah, I think so. But God's word is settled in heaven. And it's raised above all the revolutions of the universe. He remains on the throne, unshaken and eternal. And our hope is in the one who put that all together. From the eternity that is past to the eternity that is to come, your word is settled in heaven. That's what we're saying. From eternity to eternity, your word is settled in heaven. In Isaiah 59, God said, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return. What I have said I would do, I will do, just as God said. But in Romans 14, 11, it says, this is the word that he says, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That is the word of the Lord, and we can believe it. It is going to happen just as he said it would. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. In affliction, we all want to help out. We all want to be there, but we mean well, but we can't really do a lot, can we? We can feel for someone else. We can hurt for someone else. We can look on. We can pray for them. We can't speak to the heart because that's what God does. He speaks to the heart. Isaiah 40, verse 2, he speaks to the heart. He speaks through his law, and that's his voice. But in order to get support from the word of God, it must be our delight. It must be our delight. For it to be our delight, it must be a matter of our faith. We can't have a solid delight in what we don't believe. We cannot have a solid delight in what we don't believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That word believe means to cling to, adhere to, rely on, and there's one more that I always forget, but that's what the word believe means. So if I don't have that solid, I can't have a solid delight in something that I don't believe on, in that way, Psalm 27:3. So verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. We just went through Psalm 119, verse 50. Your word has given me life. It's the vehicle that we have gotten it. The author tells us how we get with your word. It is your word that has given me life. God himself is our source of life, and the word is his instrument. God himself is the word of source of life, and the word is the instrument. In Hebrews 4:12, it says that his word revives us. In Jeremiah 23:29, it says that his word melts us, molds us, changes us. In Matthew 11:28, it says that his word is attractive. What could we offer but to give our lives to someone that would take all of this mess that I am and change me into his likeness and allow me to have eternal life. The leaves of the word of God are the leaves of the tree of life. The leaves of the word of God are the leaves of eternal life. the tree of eternal life. The word of God not only lights our path, we'll get into that in verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. It light, not only lights our path, but it supplies our life with everything that we need. It is his word. It is his word. It's his precepts, his statutes that we can depend on. The words that I speak to you, said Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. So let's get busy reading our mail. Let's meditate on his word. Let's memorize his word. How you doing? Memorizing the word of God. A little thing came to my mind about I talk about my short memory. I can't remember a lot of things, and I can't remember a lot in the word when I try to memorize. It's difficult for me. But why? I wonder why it is that it's not so difficult for me in the secular part of my life to remember things. Why is that? Why is that? Because the word of God has power, and we need to memorize it. Verse 94, I'm just saying. But verse 94, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. We belong to the Lord. The believer belongs to the Lord. This is what the Lord has in us. We are his property. 1 Corinthians 3:23. We are his portion, Deuteronomy 32:9. We are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. We are the purchase of his blood in Psalm 74:2, and then move to the New Testament, Acts 20:28, and 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. We are the triumph of his conquering love. We are the triumph of his conquering love in Isaiah 53:10-12 and Luke 11:21-22. We are given to him by his Father. We are given to him by his Father, John 6:37. And we are preserved in him, and we are called. We are preserved in him, and we are called Jude 1. So the evidence of the man's character is found in seeking the Lord's precepts. Whom we serve will prove whose we are. Who we serve will prove whose we are, Acts 27:23. His servants you are to whom you obey. Pastor Bill just went through this recently. His servants you are to whom you obey, Romans 6:16. And I pray that the Lord would deliver my feet from falling, Psalm 56:13, that he would save me, that he would save me from my love of sin, that he would save me from the daily guilt and the power of sin in my life, that he would save me from my own foolish heart, my own deceptive heart, that God would save me from that. And all of this, the other things that ensnare my soul, I pray that he would save me. I need mercy to begin with me. Mercy has to begin with me. Mercy needs to accompany me. And mercy, I need mercy to abide with me forever. I found that driving shows who we really are. Have you thought about that? When we're on the road, it really does show who we really are that nobody else sees except for the Lord. We get all, of course, not us, but it's the other guys that do this. You know, we get all upset about whose lane they're in and what they're doing and what those other people are making my life so miserable because you guys are in my lane and you're getting in my way. And it just brings out who we are. Are we willing to give the kind of mercy that we want to receive? That will show up in what we believe when we're on the road. And I know that that's a rough place to say that because, well, I won't say that. People that I ride with sometimes, I don't recognize them when we're on the road. They become a different person. But I think that it proves that there's something inside of us that the Lord wants to deal with. The Lord is not interested in us just going, oh, yes, merge. Yeah, all of you guys go ahead of me. I want you all in here because you guys all deserve to be there ahead of me. No, but he does want us to give the same kind of mercy that we want to receive. God, give me mercy. Oh, give me mercy, Lord. But that person right there does not deserve that kind of mercy. We laugh about it, and yet that is true of some of us. Not, of course, not all of us, but some of us might have that problem on occasion. Not every day, just sometimes. But God, I am yours. Save me. Verse 95, the wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. In Daniel 6:22, Daniel said, my God sent his angels and shut up the lion's mouth, and they didn't hurt me because I trusted in the Lord. We hear the winds and the waves blowing. We hear and in the midst of those storms in our life, we hear that voice saying, peace be still. Peace be still. Mark 4:39, peace be still. We're not afraid of the wicked. Our hearts are fixed. We are trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 7. And this trust is grounded on the word of God, and it shows his power and his all-sufficiency. He tells us to rest in him. So whether I am delivered from the wicked and I live for Christ. If I am not delivered and I die to Christ. Romans 14:8. I live to the Lord or I die to the Lord. And again, I would say with Paul, none of these things move me. Whether I live or die, I belong to the Lord. It doesn't matter. Verse 96, I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. In Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 and 11, we see Solomon talking about the fact that he's had a part of everything that he could possibly have a part of. He has he had delicacies and indulgences, and he said, I made sure that I had everything that made me happy. But it didn't make me happy. It all came out a disappointment. It was all vanity and vexation of the spirit. The world, with all of its lusts, with all of our fashions, with all of the things that are going on, it's passing away. 1 John 2:17, all the world can offer us is like a bubble that can get popped at any time. Any time. This world is passing away. It's nothing but a shadow. So contrast the emptiness of the world with the fullness of the commandment of God. Emptiness of the world, fullness of the commandment of God. Those are the things that we hold on to. Our commandment is to love as Jesus loved. How can we measure that? It is immeasurable. We cannot measure the love of God, but we are told to love that way. If we've learned the exceeding, the breadth and the height and the depth of his love, our views of ourselves will change, and the way that we act will change, and how we live our lives. So let's do this. Let's put off the righteousness by works. Put off the righteousness by works, and let's put on the righteousness by faith. Put off the righteousness by works, and put on the righteousness by faith. Because that's true perfection. That's true perfection. And it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. And so, Lord, I thank you that you have saved us. You have been merciful to us, that your word, Lord, is trustworthy, that you are trustworthy. And Father, we can rest in who you are. We love you, Lord. We want to serve you. And Lord, as we pray for our nation, Father, we realize that there is no hope in man. There is no hope in flesh, no matter who is up there. There is no hope in the flesh, Lord. So when we go to vote, Lord, remind us to pray and to seek your face and to find out what you have to say and vote accordingly, Lord. And remember that you are in complete control, that it doesn't matter who's in the White House, it doesn't matter who's in the Senate, it doesn't matter who's in the House of Representatives, it doesn't matter who's governor or mayor, Lord, you are still in control, and you will carry us through. We can trust in you with all of our hearts. And so thank you, Lord. As the ladies get into their small groups, we pray that they just would have that intimate time of worshiping you, Lord, through sharing and praying for one another. And I thank you, Lord, for each one of them. I pray your blessing on them. I pray that you would fill them again with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Anoint them afresh with the power that only you can give through your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.